Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We bring in Ryan Wooder, Green and Gold Insider from the Green Bay Press Gazette, PackersNews.com, and I'll start with the wide receivers. Clearly, Davante Adams is your main guy for the targets. Has a second option emerged yet for Aaron Rodgers? And specifically, what do you think that wide receiver depth chart looks like should they, you know, head into, like, if this was week one, how are they lining things up this weekend, Ryan?
I think the number two is Geronimo Allison. And to be honest, I think that as last year would have unfolded, had Geronimo Allison not gone on IR after 3 weeks, I think he would have been the number two last year, too. Now, in saying that, it's kind of a different setup because Geronimo Allison is basically exclusively in the slot. He's not your perimeter number two receiver opposite Davante Adams, but he's number two target right now, and I feel pretty confident he'll be the number two target this season. Now, as far as, you know, they're going to be in a lot of 11 personnel, which is three receivers. That's what the system does. The third receiver, the second perimeter receiver would be Marquez Valdes-Scantling if this was week one. That's the way that they've been rotating it in practice. It's been Davante Adams, Marquez Valdes-Scantling on the outsides, and Geronimo Allison on the inside. Right behind them, you've got Equanimeous St. Brown. You got Jake Kumerow. Trevor Davis, I think, is going to make the team and going to have maybe a small package of plays. Well, obviously, the big thing with him is special teams. He's a returner. He's a really good gunner in punt coverage. But I think his ability to make plays in the open field with the ball in his hands is something that this offense can utilize. So there's, you know, in general, I mean, not just receiver, but across the board, the depth chart has been pretty solid for the first week. But that's the way that the receiver position has looked.
And Ryan, we talked a little bit about the receivers right there, but I know in LaFleur's system you're going to see a lot of two tight end sets and also the fullback used a lot in this offense. So how do you see the other guys skill position-wise being used as far as tight ends go and even the fullback catching passes out of the backfield that looks like a little bit in training camp?
Yeah, you're right. We've seen a lot of 21 and 12 personnel with you know, the fullback and the two tight ends. I think that, you know, Robert Tonyan has really not just earned his way onto the roster so far, but into the offense. I mean, Aaron Rodgers, I thought, was really interesting yesterday about Robert Tonyan. I mean, he's a former receiver who before that was a quarterback. He never played tight end until he got to the NFL, which just seems really hard to do, to never do a position until you're doing it at the highest level in the world. So there was an adjustment period for him, to be sure, and there still is. You know, Robert Tonyan is not the world's greatest blocker. He is not Mercedes Lewis. But he's really athletic. He's a natural receiver. He can catch the football. He can make plays. And in this offense, especially when they do go to the two tight end look, as Aaron Rodgers said, there's a lot of move tight end in this offense. And that's what Robert Tonyan is. You're going to see him a good bit. Obviously, Jimmy Graham, Mercedes Lewis for his blocking is going to get snaps. But yeah, I mean, they've got some depth there, potentially, that they haven't had in a little while. And then Danny Vitale, the fullback, he's going to be a part of this offense as well. You know, not only do they call him the Muscle Man, which is a good nickname to be for your fullback if you want to have a big, powerful guy opening holes as a lead blocker, but he's got some good hands at the back. I mean, he's shown that in camp that he can catch. So I think you're still going to see a ton of three receiver set. That's Sean McVay, who is one of the mentors, if you will, of Matt LaFleur. He's in 11 personnel all the time out in L.A., and this offense really reflects that a lot. But I think you're going to see more of the two tight end and the two back looks than you see with Rams.
Ryan Wood joining us here on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, Family Night Tonight. Speaking of the Muscle Man, we'll hear from him with Mike Clemens in about 15 minutes. Danny Vitale, the fullback here on the Fan. So what typically happens is there's somebody in the league that wants to get traded. So then we always ask, do you want that guy? And so Melvin Gordon with the Chargers wants to be traded. I don't want to talk to you about him on the Packers. I want to specifically talk to you about why I would probably say no. I like these backs that the Packers have. And am I wrong to think that Aaron Jones, and I know some people say, well, he's been hurt from time to time. Am I wrong to think this guy in this offense can put up 2,000 all-purpose yards this year?
I think he could have a huge year. I think I predicted, if he stays healthy, a floor of 1,200 rushing yards, a floor of that. I mean, he's got a ton of potential if he stays healthy, but that's just, I mean, let's face it, that's a huge if, right? I mean, he's got to stay healthy, and he hasn't really shown much in the way of being able to do that in his first 2 years. So I do think the whole wide zone should help him. I mean, he's not going to be a battering ram between the tackles running a wide zone scheme. He got a lot leaner in the off season so that he can stretch it to the outside even quicker. That's where you want to see Aaron Jones a lot, is the perimeter of the field, which should mean that he's not taking on, you know, defensive linemen, but also, you know, crashing safeties and linebackers head on. And that should, in theory, help preserve him. But I mean, he's got to stay healthy. Right now he's out with the hamstring, and it was only a couple days in pads until that happened. It's not a good start in that regard. But if he stays healthy, absolutely. I think he's a dynamic runner. When you're averaging in 2 years, five and a half yards per carry in this league, that's awfully impressive.
Aaron, when you go back and you look at Aaron Rodgers last season and you look at the third down throwaways, highest in the league, you look at the sacks, and you go back and you look at his mechanics, and they're just, when he's out of the pocket, he could do the most damage. When he's in the pocket, it just looks like his mechanics have become sloppy. I'm watching a lot of film, and I see him stepping into throws. What have you noticed the biggest difference, I should say, with Aaron Rodgers this time, whereas like last season he was at in training camp, as far as his mechanics go? Do you notice a big difference?
No, not mechanically, and I don't even, I might disagree a little bit. I think when Aaron Rodgers is in the pocket, he's been really good. I go back to when he had the calf injury in 2014. You know, and I mean, has he changed that much since 2014? I don't think so. I mean, it really forced him to be in the pocket, and he was phenomenal late in that season. Even go back to the opener last year when he got injured and then returned and basically couldn't move and was exclusively from the pocket because he couldn't run. And that's when he led this team back from 20-0 down, I mean, from the pocket. So I think the issue with him, if anything, I think they want to be in the pocket even more, because if you're in the pocket more, usually you're on schedule more. It's when you get out of the pocket that you get off schedule, you improvise, you extend plays. That has probably been the biggest issue, is the inability, especially last year, of being on schedule and staying on schedule. And in this offense with Matt LaFleur, it's very incumbent on staying on schedule as much as possible. Now, Matt LaFleur seems to realize that this is Aaron Rodgers and it's not always going to be on schedule. And a lot of times, if it's not on schedule, that'll be okay because it is Aaron Rodgers. He can extend plays second to none. But if you look at a percentage of plays on schedule in the passing game and not on schedule, I think you're going to see a lot more on schedule this season than last. And a big part of that's going to be to stay in the pocket so that you can stay on schedule. So that to me would be the big thing. And we'll see if that happens. We'll see if he can do that.
Ryan Wood joining us, Green and Gold Insider, by Ryan Wood on Twitter. So we've hit on the quarterback, the running backs, the wide receivers, and then the thing that we often skirt by until there's an injury or somebody plays bad is the offensive line. The one thing I've heard about the offensive line was the time that Bakhtiari got beat twice in a row. How have they looked to you? Is the depth going to be as big of a concern as we might have thought maybe before training camp?
I'll be really curious how many, what number they keep on the offensive line. They've got some depth. Billy Turner coming in is a byproduct of that. Also, Elton Jenkins being drafted in the second round. I mean, I think Elton Jenkins is certainly adjusting right now, as you would expect for any young guy in his first week of NFL training camp. But he's big and he can move, and there's some potential there for sure. It'll be interesting when we see this offensive line go against someone else, starting really with a joint practice next week with the Texans, but even more so in the preseason opener against the Texans, because those will be live snaps. I think, though, I mean, you've got Brian Bulaga, who, when healthy, is still a really good right tackle. David Bakhtiari is obviously, I mean, you can make a case he's the best pass blocker in the world, being a first-team All-Pro left tackle. Corey Linsley is a stalwart. Lane Taylor, the question with him is whether he can get over the ankle injury from last year that really wrecked a good half his season last year, was not able to move the way he was previously. Had a really good 2017. We'll see if he can get over that injury. That's the big question on the offensive line. And I think Billy Turner, just with his athleticism, Aaron Rodgers has been pleased, said a few times how pleased he is with Billy Turner. You get that type of an athlete at guard in this wide zone scheme where it's a lot of lateral footwork with the blocks. That's a really good fit, or on paper at least. So we'll see how that goes on the field. But yeah, there's some good potential for this offensive line, and even behind him, the Lucas Patricks and Justin McCrays. I mean, those guys have played quite a bit of football, and as backups, they're pretty experienced.
Now, I haven't gotten up to Green Bay yet, so I'm excited to watch on TV tonight, family night. Is there anything that we should watch for tonight with this practices? Because I'm assuming for you it's just another day at the office, just now you're in the Lambeau Field press box instead of on the sidelines outside the Hudson Center. What should we expect? What should, you know, the common person watch for tonight at family night?
Yeah, I mean, the big thing when you go to any practice is to watch the competitive periods. What does that mean? Well, Matt LaFleur calls them fed periods because they don't allow tackle, but it's basically when they're 11-on-11 and you're seeing a lot more contact. I mean, they'll do full contact up until the point of contact and just not bring guys to the ground. Matt LaFleur, look, the Packers were one of the lightest practices, training camp practices I've ever seen yesterday, for multiple reasons, but it was basically an hour and a half walkthrough in every drill, including the two-minute drill, which I don't know if I've ever seen a walkthrough two-minute drill. Again, that yesterday was their seventh practice in eight games, or in 8 days. It was a third straight. Matt LaFleur said that the third straight day on the practice field, he believes players are more susceptible to injury. So they pulled back for that. And then they pulled back because tonight should be pretty intense from a competitive standpoint. Matt LaFleur said there's going to be two move-the-ball periods tonight, which is a competitive drill. There's going to be two-minute drill tonight, which is probably the best drill that you can have in a practice. There should be some entertaining competitive drills to watch for fans tonight.
I'm looking forward to it. Looking forward to talking to you next week after this thing airs, and we can preview Packers and Texans with the joint practices coming next week. Ryan, we will talk to you then. Enjoy family night tonight, and thanks as always.
All right, have a good weekend, guys.
By Ryan Wood on Twitter, Green Bay Press Gazette, PackersNews.com. He joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. If you're looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019, look no further and call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local common sense lending to your community since 1935.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.